Well, respect yourself. That's our theme music from Joe Cocker with some great messages about respecting yourself and others on a lovely day in Auckland. A bit of sunshine, quite a bit warmer. Had a game of tennis last night, so I'm making a bit of progress in terms of health. I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Caron, and in fact Declan is going to be the interviewer today. And this is Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, brought to you and funded by Framework Trust. Now today we're going to talk about the idea of reducing or stopping psychiatric medications after a lengthy period of time, and that it can be scary, especially if there is a risk of dependency symptoms. On Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us today, we discuss a guide to reducing or stopping mental health medications and what discontinuation symptoms might be expected from such meds as antidepressants. While this guide was first published late last year, I've only just accessed it via Take It From Us supporter Gaylene Morris, who says this on Facebook about reducing her own meds. And I quote Gaylene, "I'm on this pathway now of ridding my body of medical concoctions that have assisted me in the past to progressively improve my functioning within whānau and wider circles. I'm finding it okay," she says, "but certainly couldn't, or should I say wouldn't, do it if employed or have others relying on me to be consistent. I've become a functioning, descaling, multiple medical medicinal user." I'll just repeat that. "I've become a functioning, descaling, multiple medical medicinal user, which to my mind, it's just as well as I went to the doctor to de-escalate my meds taking. Instead of doing what we shake our heads about, and which I've done once before, going it alone without support or even advice." She says, "My daughter calls me stubborn, which I have always stubbornly refused to accept, until I did the cold turkey routine with a tablet only as big as a freckle, 20 milligrams of quetiapine. And by coincidence, it was World Benzodiazepine Day, which has actually reduced down to WBAD. Now, that seems to be quite significant to me, because my experience of diazepines like Valium, diazepam, has always been a bit dubious. So here's Declan to ask me about the guide to reducing or stopping mental health medication, which was published by Maturaki, National Additional Workforce Development, late last year.
Right. Well, what's the purpose behind this guide?
Well, this guide has been written, Declan, for you if you are thinking about or wanting to reduce or stop taking mental health medication.
And who's it aimed at targeting?
Yeah, the purpose of this guide is to give you information that can help you to come off your medication. It does not deal with the decision to reduce or stop taking medication, which ideally should be made in collaboration with your healthcare worker and key support people, and I think they should really say there, your GP. Let's just say here, it is important to discuss whether you should reduce or stop your medication with your doctor and your pharmacist. They will be able to give you valuable information about the pros and cons, how to reduce or stop safely, and how to reduce discontinuation symptoms. Now, we'll be talking a little bit later in the show about these discontinuation symptoms. Clearly, they are the side effects of reducing your medication. However, it is ultimately your choice, and I think this is very important. This is a message throughout this guide that it is our personal choice whether or not to reduce or stop our medications, unless, of course, you're on a compulsory treatment order. So a very important message, I think, is that Everyone's experience of reducing or stopping medication is different, and care must be taken not to assume one person's experiences and opinions are true for everyone.
I was just going to say there too that I think it's, as you say, it's crucial that you don't go through something with the sudden cold turkey stop, and that you have your physician. Sometimes you find your physician will hand you over to mental health services and deal with a psychiatrist, because obviously a general practitioner. So I think that what you've just mentioned, a very important message, is don't do anything without consulting your professionalist and go with their guidance.
Yeah, well, I was prescribed actually Xanax, which I think is the Hollywood sort of benzodiazepine, anxiety reducer. That was in Bali when I had a bit of a meltdown when I travelled up to Bali. And it's, I think, blacklisted in New Zealand, Xanax, and I may have mentioned this on Take It From Us before. But I had about 1.5 tablets left. I wasn't feeling too good when I decided to come off at cold turkey. I had to leave work because I was feeling so uncomfortable, and I dropped in to see my pharmacist, and he said, well, there's no way that you can stop this cold turkey. He said, I cannot help you. How many pills have you got left? And he said, I said, I've got one and a half, and he said, I want you to break up that one into two halves. Take a half right now, a half a bit later in the day before you go to bed, and then break up the half. So at least I had some tapering off, and thankfully that worked reasonably well.
And that was while you were in Bali?
No, I had returned. I started taking that particular anti-anxiety pill and in Bali, and found it incredibly effective.
I'm just thinking, anyone going into Bali, medication or otherwise, that'd be enough to cause you anxiety, wouldn't it, after the Shell Corby, whatever her name was?
Well, yes, yes, that's right. I had visions when I was up there, when I had a meltdown, that I would end up in the sort of place that whatever her name
I'd
was.
What was her name? Something Corby.
Yes.
I think the only way I'd want to go there would be to drop in by bloomin' hang glider or some damn thing, but that it looks a lovely place, but anyway. So what do you think the... what does the summary of the main points explain?
Yeah, well, there is a summary of main points, and it says getting discontinuation or withdrawal symptoms when you reduce or stop taking a medication, it does not mean that you are addicted. And I think perhaps there is a perception that some of the medications that some of us take are addictive, because I certainly feel that it's quite difficult to completely withdraw from some of these drugs. It also says it's very good idea to plan ahead and make sure you have no important obligations for a few weeks after you stop. As Gaylene Morris said earlier when we quoted Gaylene, that not to go cold turkey, and she cast doubt over whether she would be able to handle withdrawing from her medication if she was working, or if she was, or others were relying on her to be consistent. Use your support people. They are absolutely essential, along with your doctor and other health workers. Make use of them, says this guide, and gradually reduce or taper your medication over a few weeks to reduce the risk of significant symptoms.
When you're looking at the medication discontinue symptoms, how does that tie in with when you stop a medication, what can sometimes happen?
Yeah, well, I think this is where the sort of, it's the grey area. When you start withdrawing and reducing the medication, you're likely to get a recurrence of the symptoms of your illness. And how do you distinguish between the symptoms of the original illness and the symptoms or the side effect you're getting from withdrawing from the medication? These symptoms are known, they've got a fairly big name. They are known as medication discontinuation symptoms. MDS, I think probably withdrawal is a better word. It says that most medications, if taken for long enough, can result in these withdrawal symptoms. However, the symptoms are often mild and go unnoticed. But this is where this guide is a little bit inconsistent, because later on we'll talk about some of those side effects from withdrawing. Mm. And for some medications, it can lead to seizures, which I would say are not mild. Mild side effects.
Forget about barley.
that would go unnoticed. It says here that research has identified that there are genetic differences in the ways different people process medication, with some people metabolizing medication quickly and some people metabolizing medication slowly. So sometimes when a medication is stopped, there is a worsening of the symptoms. It was meant to be helping. So that is, I think, a very strong message as to why we've got to be careful with this whole idea of either reducing or stopping our medication.
So when we, if we were to decide that we were going to stop some or all of medications, what tips would you say people need to be aware of? Obviously, consulting with your medical professional is paramount before you sort of go running off into the woods on your own. But what tips is Gaylene mentioning on there for reducing and stopping medications?
Well, I'll just clarify here that Gaylene was the one who bought this guide to stopping or reducing your medication. She was the one who brought it to my notice. The tips that the guide, which has been prepared by Matthew Iraki, says you need to be very clear about your reasons for stopping or reducing medication and the goals that you have set up for yourself. Maybe write these down. It can be very useful to review these if or when you have these withdrawal symptoms. So if the withdrawal symptoms get pretty bad, it's very important to have a supply of the medication that you've been taking and consult your doctor as to whether you should go back on it. Some of the other tips are... definitely, this is very important. Choose, learn, or update your coping strategies. And we'll talk more about those, but some of them that are listed is mindfulness and meditation, going for walks, eating well, all of those clear coping strategies that are going to help relieve the impact of these withdrawal symptoms. Discuss how to go about it with your main health worker, and I'm surprised that they don't say quite clearly there that the main health worker in this case should be your GP. Make a plan for how you will go about reducing and then stopping your medication if you want to. Prepare to be flexible with the plan and review how you are doing and what you need as you reduce the medication. Well, shall we take a music break, Declan, give you a break in this big responsibility you've got today?
How can I say no to that? Actually, I've got a very, very interesting track for you here. I've got a couple of things you might be interested to hear. It's a song by Don McLean called Vincent. And one of the lyrics says, "How you suffered for your sanity," and it refers to schizophrenia, which Vincent van Gogh and his brother Theo both suffered. The Starry Night painting was done after van Gogh was admitted to himself to an asylum in 1889, and he painted the sky from memory. Don McLean wrote the song, arguing van Gogh wasn't crazy, on a paper bag of all damn things. And also, just as an interesting thing here, and I heard this a fair while ago through a couple of radio announcer friends of mine, that American Pie, one of his other songs. It was the largest song to hit number one on the Hot 100 list, and it was that big. It was split into two parts, A and B, on a 45 record, because it was 8 minutes and 32 seconds. And as every DJ radio announcer knows, when you need to go for a cig, a coffee or a bathroom break, that's the one you go for. Here's Vincent from Don McLean. You're listening to Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio, broadcasting on 104.6 every Tuesday at 12:30.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills, sketch the trees and the daffodils. Catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. Starry, starry night, flaming flowers that brightly blaze, swirling clouds in violet haze, reflect in Vincent's eyes of china blue, colors changing hue. Morning fields of amber grain, weathered faces lined in pain, are soothed beneath the artist's loving hand. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now, for they could not love you, but still your love was true. And when no hope was left inside on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you. Starry, starry night, portraits hung in empty halls, frameless heads on nameless walls, with eyes that watch the world and can't forget, like the strangers that you've met. The ragged men in ragged clothes, a silver thorn, a bloody rose, lie crushed and broken on the virgin snow. Now I think I know what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they're not listening still. Perhaps they never.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And this is Sheldon Brown on Take It From Us, and today we're talking about this guide to reducing or stopping mental health medication. And in a later program, we hope to have some consumers, some clients of mental health services in the studio to talk about their own experience of this. And of course, I've recently had my own experience as well, and I must say that I did experience some coercion to stay on a certain level of antidepressant medication, and that's something that I'm debating in my own mind. But I'll just hand over to Declan, who's in the hot seat today.
Gosh, it's wonderful. I have so much power at my fingertips now. So what I'm wondering in here is that if you're going to look at going through this whole stopping of medications, how would you go about when you're on multiple medications? Like, and whose decision would that be? I mean, because you've got your GP, your psychiatrist, and obviously yourself on that medication. So can you explain to us a little bit on how that would work?
Well, it's very important to carefully plan how you're going to do this if you are on multiple medications, and do it with the advice and support of your doctor. In most cases, the recommendation is to plan to come completely off one medication at a time. If you need to come off medication due to other health concerns, say if you're getting severe side effects or you're pregnant, also seek advice from your doctor. The most important one to come off first may not be the one that you think. This is what the guide says. I think selecting what particular medication you want to come off and for what reasons is a crucial issue. I've had considerable shakiness as a result of the last meltdown that I had earlier this year. And by coming off quetiapine, which was sort of prescribed in hospital without much consultation with me, but I was told that it was a very good complement to sleeping medication, I've certainly had less shakiness and I certainly feel much stronger. If one of your medications is causing you significant side effects, make this one of the first to come off. Of course, that's all very well to state that, but how do we as users of medication know which medication is likely to be the one that is causing us concerning side effects? It says any medication that helps sleep could be one of the last to reduce or stop. And again, how do we know? I guess the doctor would explain this to us, but which medication is actually contributing to good sleep? We know that Zopiclone, which is one of the standard sleeping pills, clearly has benefits if we are not too distraught. But are antidepressants either contributing or detracting from our sleep? And, you know, I guess this is the sort of advice that we get from our doctors.
I was just thinking, too, when we're on medications and you're thinking of reducing them, a lot of them have got a side effect of tiredness and feeling lethargic and so forth. So whether you take one medication off, it's possible you're still going to have the side effect you're trying to get rid of, which could be in another medication. So it's sort of seems almost a bit like the board here in the studio, where you sort of each medication's like a feed you're adjusting to try and get the right balance.
And that, you know, that often takes time, and I think this is really quite a complex issue if you are on multiple medications. And it's, to me, it seems that consulting your doctor and your psychiatrist is very important. But often they can be a bit coercive. They can say, look, I think you must stay on this because of the your history of mental unwellness. And what do you do in the face of that?
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing, is you've got to balance your wellness with the potential benefits that you're looking for. And so you might end up jumping from the fire into the, you know, frying pan into the fire, make things even worse. So,
well, that is the danger, and the one thing that I think makes this reduction or stopping of your medication scary is that, of course, we're all fearful that the original symptoms will come back, the depression and the anxiety may come back, or if it's psychotic episodes may come back, and yet we may be feeling that the medication is unhelpful in many respects. And so it's a fine line between trying to remain functioning, trying to be able to work, trying to be able to play sport, without, well, with the impact of the medication. But in terms of whose choice it is, which was part of the question that you asked me, Declan, it says very clearly here, remember, it is your choice whether or not to reduce or stop your medication, unless, of course, you are under a compulsory treatment order under the Mental Health Act. Your doctor has a responsibility to advise you based on their clinical judgment, but ultimately the decision is yours. Now, I'll read that again. Ultimately, the decision is yours.
It's a big task to take because, I guess you've got to look at what state of mind those medications have got you in at that point. So it's a tough thing. With the tapering of medications, how do we do that? And I'm just wondering whether that perhaps means that you reduce one medication, but as a result maybe have to tweak another one higher to compensate.
Well, I think that could be a possibility, and this is why it's very important to review how you're doing with the gradual tapering off rather than stopping all at once. Tapering off the medication reduces the risk of a return of the original symptoms or original issues the medication was designed for. How you can taper off medication yourself depends on the type, the size, the dose of the tablets. You know, in some cases you could have a liquid which would be more flexible in terms of reducing it. But if you're taking an antidepressant medication with a pill, if you chop it in half, well, you find that the guts of the pill spills out, so how much of that do you take? It says it's especially important to taper medication in the following circumstances. And one of them is when you're coming off benzodiazepines and zopiclone, stopping abruptly could cause seizures. Now, you know, that is a very severe and serious side effect. And it says, in fact, that seizures can be life-threatening. Also, when you're coming off the antidepressants paroxetine, venlafaxine, clozapine or lamotrigine, so they are four of the antidepressants that are more difficult to taper off, especially be careful of this tapering off when you're quite worried about the withdrawal symptoms. It says if you have important things coming up in the next few weeks, like maybe a presentation at work, or you've got a family function, or you've got a sports event, then the timing of this may not be good. If you've tried to reduce your medication a bit, maybe by a quarter, but you've got unpleasant withdrawal symptoms. And if the original issue for which you were prescribed the medication has not been resolved. So down the bottom of this particular page, it says, if you do decide to stop your medication suddenly, make sure you have some left over so you can restart it if you do experience severe withdrawal symptoms. Restarting medication should improve those symptoms within 24 hours at the most, and you can then consider a tapering approach in the future.
On that tapering too, I've been told that there's a lot of medications which have what's called a half-life. So if you're taking, say, 500 milligrams and you stop taking it, if it's a maintenance medication, then the next day it's 250 and then 175, and it halves down from there. In the case of a lot of antidepressants, working them out of the system.
I don't know whether you would do that on a daily basis, though. I think.
Would be if you were wanting to, you know, do something if you were someone that had stopped taking it cold turkey, then that's how long that would take to come out of your system. But of course, you know. There are the risks of stopping too. You know, if somebody stops straight off, it's all of a sudden your system's had this medication that's suddenly no longer there.
Yeah, well, that was the case with the Xanax. When I got back from Bali to New Zealand, I was still working. I was getting some assistance from Lifeline. And, yes, I stopped taking the Xanax, and that was when I actually had to take half a day off work, go in to see my pharmacist, and he said, no, there's no way that we can supply this particular benzo. So
I'm sort of wondering, too, that when you're saying about events and people having things to do, depending on whether they're working or homemaker, that type of thing, you know, at home, whether there's ever going to be that perfect place where they can look at coming off the medications where they're not going to have something stressful happening. Like if you've got a university student that's ready to start back the first semester type thing, or what if you get part of the way down track and then suddenly some event comes up that you weren't expecting? So I can see all sorts of issues that could present in that.
Well, I think this is where you've got to review your own resilience, you know, review your life conditions, review how you're feeling, and make sure that your goal to reduce or stop medication is the right one.
Because I just had visions of myself, if I came off it, I'd probably be flapping around like a chased rooster on the top of the Roman house or something, you know.
Well, we don't want that.
No.
But it does say here that, you know, if you got an initial dose, then a reduction by between 10 and 25% first. Review it a week later. If there are any of these withdrawal symptoms that are persisting, then make no change to the dose and say review it in another 2 weeks' time.
It's a very
gradual tapering off process. It does say here, as the overall dose gets lower, the size and timing of the reduction may need to decrease. So what it's saying there is that as you lower the dose, then the time, you know, it might be just 1 week before you reduce it again. When to stop taking the medication will depend on your comfort, and having no worries about the withdrawal symptoms.
And I'm just thinking too that once again stress that you need to do all this with your medical professionals. In my case, my GP just more or less goes goodbye and flicks me over to my psychiatrist, and he does all my other medications as well. So if anybody's looking to go through this, it's imperative they're going to keep that regular contact and regular appointments. You can't just sort of go into it and go, yep, I'm fine, I'll talk to them in a week or two, because, you know, this is where you really need that intensive supervision, for want of a better word.
Yeah, well, I think that's a very intensive supervision. Of course, there may be a cost associated with that, which some of our listeners may not be able to withstand.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
I think your psychiatrist is part of the community mental health service.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the, you know, if you can get your GP to refer you there, because you're really dealing, you know, general practitioner, general sort of medicine, and you really, I think, need to be with someone who knows these intimately and can really closely monitor it all.
Yeah. Well, let's take another music break. Declan is being very professional
in his
announcement
of
the music and also the interview today.
I'm under professional supervision. Okay, well, I haven't really got a lot to say about this particular track because I couldn't find anything, mainly. It's by a guy by the name of Dimitri Vangelis, and the other guy's name is Wyman, so I don't know where they're going with this. But anyway, it's a song called Shine, and you're listening to Mental Health Radio Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM. We're broadcasting here for an hour every Tuesday from 12:30. Here's Shine from Dimitri Vangelis and Wyman.
with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And I'm Sheldon Brown. I guess I'm still the host, even though I'm not the interviewer today. But Declan is asking me a few questions about this particular guide to reduce or stop mental health medication. It was published by Matu Araki, the National Addiction Workforce Development, late last year. And I'm sure that you can access it through Matu Araki. That's M-A-T-U-A, a new word, R-A-K-I.
Right. Well, I wonder if we can have a look at more detail of the symptoms and stopping or reducing the specific mental health medications, say starting off with antidepressants.
Yeah, well, as a rough guide, it seems that withdrawal symptoms are going to be felt most noticeably by about half of all people stopping the SSRI antidepressant medication. And between a third and a half of people taking other medications such as antipsychotics, benzodiazepines, zopiclone, or mood stabilizers. So in terms of antidepressant medication, as I say, about half of people stopping antidepressant medication are likely to experience at least some withdrawal symptoms. Of the people who do get symptoms, about half are likely to have mild symptoms, and the other half are likely to experience more severe symptoms. The most severe come from, that's the most severe withdrawal symptoms, occur with venlafaxine, which is, I think, one of the most common antidepressants prescribed in New Zealand, and paroxetine, one that I haven't had any experience of. But in terms of those fairly major and common SSRI antidepressants, and they are listed here, fluoxetine, which is Prozac, sertraline, citalopram, paroxetine, and venlafaxine. Some of the symptoms, withdrawal symptoms, to me, are really quite serious. They include, and they're listed in the guide so that you could read them, dizziness, return of original symptoms, difficulty sleeping, and nausea and tiredness and headache, suicidal thoughts and behaviours, irritability, you could be unsteady on your feet, you could get electric shock-like sensations, have diarrhea, visual disturbances, aches and pains, chills, agitation, poor concentration and vivid dreams. Now, you know, many of those symptoms, well, it's hard to know whether you can sheet those back to the medication that you're taking and the fact that you may have chosen to withdraw or try and stop that medication. And I would have to say, and I've been on antidepressants for a lengthy period of time, that I don't always associate bad dreams that I might have with that medication. It could be that I've eaten something, or there may be some other reason. I've had a stressful day and that's been the result. So it's very hard to sheet you know, the reason for vivid dreams or nightmarish dreams to the medication. And this is the thing that confuses me about this whole business of taking medication and withdrawing from it.
I had to put in there, actually, the electric shock-like sensations. I had a vision of Simon Bridges with his synthetic carpet, and I wonder whether it was like involuntary.
Sorry, his synthetic
Simon Bridges was getting electric shocks off the carpet in the Beehive. And I wondered whether that was a form of, you know, like electric shock sensations. I had sort of visions of him having, you know,
electric shock therapy.
Pretty much, yeah. Involuntarily. So if we move on to antipsychotic medications, what about symptoms with those?
Well, it says here that there's very much less information available about antipsychotic withdrawal or discontinuation than about antidepressant discontinuation. And that's a little bit concerning because, of course, quetiapine that I mentioned is, in fact, an antipsychotic medication. And one of the, in fact, a psychologist friend I was talking to just recently sort of confirmed with me that these stronger antipsychotic medications are creeping in to the treatment and therapy for people like myself that only experience depression and anxiety. So, you know, this to me is a little bit of a concern that stronger medications are being brought in. It might be thought that, well, yes, I have had a history of depression and so there's a need for this. But, you know, the concerning thing to me when I was in hospital earlier this year was that there was no consultation about the introduction of this quetiapine. And certainly I found it created doziness. Yes, it did cause me to sleep, but it was difficult getting up in the morning, and I was only taking a very small dose of quetiapine. So so there is much less information about antipsychotics. Some of them listed here are olanzapine, quetiapine, as I've mentioned, risperidone, and clozapine. And the withdrawal symptoms listed here are somewhat similar to when we try and get off our antidepressants: sleep problems, mood changes and irritability, anxiety and agitation. And it always concerns me that we may get an onset of anxiety as a result of coming off a medication that may be managing anxiety. It says a return of or worsening of symptoms that would be related to the original mental health issue, difficulty concentrating, again, headaches are listed, memory loss, nightmares, tiredness, sweating, dizziness, and unusual jerky or stiff movements. Now, you know, I don't know how you respond to that list, Declan, but all of those things, as I say, are quite significant. They'd be quite significant to me if that was happening to me. And so this is where I sometimes doubt the suggestion that these medications are not addictive. I do not understand why we should get such withdrawal symptoms and quite serious ones when we are withdrawing from a medication which is said to be not addictive.
Yeah, my experience when I had my bipolar high and spent a bit of time away courtesy of the government, that the anti-psychosis medication that I was initially on pretty much zombied me out. In fact, I do recall starting a phone conversation with someone which went for something like 8 hours, and when I woke up, the phone was laying on the pillow beside me and no one on the other end. I'm not surprised.
But they hadn't cut the call off.
Oh, I think after, as far as I know, when I rang them back, they said, oh, you talked for about 8 hours, pretty much non-stop. It was like the flaming a train across them in Australia or something. So, you know, and the thing with that is that if that zombies you out, you can't do anything. Then I think it's, I just have visions of like a seesaw, a very, very fine balancing to come off that antipsychotic medication to bring you to a place where you need to be, and either working in tandem with medications that you're on, or if you're, in the case of my new diagnosis, you're bringing those medications in, but you've got to bring the high down first and then deal with the low. Because my bipolar mainly deals with the depressive side, but when it does hit the high, now I'm sort of, you know, once bitten, twice shy, I know what to look for. But
that would be a warning, though, if you were going high.
Yeah. The warning for me with the bipolar for going high is I tend to talk, you know, quite fast, fleeting thoughts, all sorts of crazy ideas and things. And, you know, the second time I had that, which was the first time out of the mental health system, my parents and friends said, oh, we noticed, you know, that your mind was racing. And, of course, with songs, you start to get hear the songs like giving you some meaning type thing. So in the end, I just turned music off. But I think the thing, too, with that is I can't stress highly enough that your friends and family need to be able to feel that they can step in and say, hey, we noticed this happening. Because the only reason I noticed that was my psychiatrist had said, when we change your medication over, come off the lithium and go into the sertraline and lamotrigine, you're going to have a 90% chance of hitting a high. So what I call my Pacific Tsunami Early Warning System was able to sort of detect that. And everyone said, oh, we saw it. And I said, why didn't you do anything about it? And they said, we didn't know what to do.
So, they didn't say anything at all.
No, they didn't say anything at all. They just watched it. And after the fact, when I contacted my psychiatrist guy and got things sorted, they all said, oh, well, we saw it. But I think, you know, that's really important too. I think that just when we're talking about this reduction of medications is, whilst you go to your GP, or if you're dealing with the mental health sector and you go straight back to your psychiatrist, then I think you've got to be looking at, that's your support with your medication within the system, but I think that's imperative with who you live with, or neighbours and friends, and those people that are seeing on a regular basis can actually pick up something that's out of character or something that's just starting to not go right before it gets to a point where you end up back into intensive treatment again.
Well, and it also raises the whole issue of our own personal responsibility and monitoring ourselves and recognising that we may be getting a little bit high.
But the big question with that too is that if once you get to a certain point in that unwellness, how much cognitive ability have you got to actually realise you've got past the point of no return?
Yeah, and I mean, I would think that if one of your supporters came up to you and said, hey, Declan, look, I think you might be getting a little bit out of control, you know, you're talking a whole lot more, you're staying up late, that sort of thing.
I'd say, what are you new?
Well, we've got to be receptive, of course, and if, you know, if we respond to that by conflict or anger or rudeness, then that's going to discourage them from playing anything again. Well, let's take another music break on Take It From Us.
Why not? Well, I've got a track here actually that goes back to 1976, and it's from a woman called Charlene. She got married again, so she dumped her last name. A lot of artists do. Many misconceptions about the song. A lot of people think it was written about abortion, but it refers to a woman who was at a point in her life that she wished she'd taken the time to have children. Interesting. It's from Charlene. It's called I've Never Been to Me. It was actually the opening song in the 1994 movie Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And you're listening to Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio, on 104.6 Planet FM. We broadcast every Tuesday at 12:30 right here.
I'm not afraid to die.
Well, lovely.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
Well, I just came in there a little
That's
bit.
That's all right, I'll hold you back from the gate.
jumped the gun a little bit there. Well, I'm host Sheldon Brown, and we're talking today about a guide that I discovered on Facebook, courtesy of Gaylene Morris, who is a prolific Facebook poster, and I really appreciate a lot of the material that's coming through on my email from people like Gaylene, and also from Denise Caltreau that we interviewed last week, and her interview can be heard on planetaudio.org.nz / take it from us. We're also doing a survey for Take It From Us, because we celebrated 25 years on air, and I've done just over 10 years. And there was a bit of a suggestion that maybe listenership was dropping away a bit. So if you would like to participate in that survey, if you could email me and then we can send it out to you, that will be a sort of an exclusive invitation. So please don't forward it to anyone else. If you do, then you're unable to fill out the survey, and also the other people that you send it to are unable to complete the survey too.
And so just an idea I was going to throw in there too is, with the music, I try and get a good variety in that, but there is a question in there asking you about that, and it'd be interesting for you to put a note in if you'd like to be able to have the opportunity to be able to request a track, because I'm open to that.
Yeah, and I think Declan's got about 450 or 500 tracks.
No, it's about 740.
Well, 740.
And I can access even more.
On Spotify. Well, let's just go back to talking about this guide, which has been put out by Maturaki, and you can access it on their website. Mood stabilisers.
Yes, I see. What do they call it? Benzodiazepine.
Well, the mood stabilizers are a little before that in the guide.
Righto.
And
okay.
You'd be familiar with this because you've earlier in this our little chat you mentioned lithium, which was one of the I don't know that it's actually a salt.
That's right.
And I took lithium for probably 30 years ago, that was the only medication that I've ever been on in terms of mental health where I had to have regular checkups in terms of my thyroid. But it does say that discontinuing a couple of the mood-stabilizing drugs increases the risk of seizures if you have a history of seizures. So this is where this very serious side effect from discontinuing a drug comes in. If you've had a history of seizures, then there is an increased risk of a further seizure. Some of the other symptoms here is that you'll get a return of the symptoms that were dominant when you had your original sort of diagnosis. Also nausea, headaches, poor sleep, agitation and restlessness, nightmares, and poor coordination and falls. So all of those are listed as potential withdrawal symptoms. And, you know, in reading that poor sleep is likely to be a symptom of withdrawal or stopping medication, that always worries me, because poor sleep, for me, has always been the start of a downward spiral.
I think particularly with the lithium too, that comes in two types of medication. You get the slow release and the standard ones. But just to put something in very quickly there on lithium is that they say you shouldn't be on it for much more than 10 or 15 years, because it can be quite hard on the kidneys, and I found that I've got one slightly under functioning. So, yeah.
But then again, you're not able to attribute that to you know, having taken mental health medication.
I don't know, and something, yeah. I don't know.
Well, let's go to our community notices. We will have to just cut short our discussion about the impact of withdrawing or stopping mental health medications. But we will come back to this subject. And please, if there are any thoughts or comments that you'd like to make.
Take It From Us Community Notice Board.
Now, the charity concert called The Chant of the Dragon is on this Saturday, July the 21st at 107 Nielsen Street, Onehunga at 7pm. It's put on by the Chinese Chow Shan Ensemble and Framework Services is the recipient charity. Go to Trade Me and take a look for these tickets for the Chant of the Dragon Ensemble Orchestra. Those tickets are $10 each, and give yourself plenty of time because they have to be mailed out to you.
We've got a bail it now.
We've got a bail.
Yeah,
okay.
We've got
right.
About 30 seconds.
It's 30 seconds. Okay, well, thank you again for listening, and remember that survey.
No worries. Catch you next week.